70 times 7. In Proverbs 24, beginning with verse 15, obviously a long time before Jesus talked about 70 times 7. Beginning with verse 15, it says, "Do not lie in wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Do not plunder his resting place. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." So Proverbs says the righteous man will fall 7 times and rise again. That means you can be righteous and mess up. That means you can be on a trajectory to do what you know is right, seeking the face of God, and stumble and fall, and God's not done with you. But notice it also goes in and says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him." What that tells me is that we have to be careful how we react when things are going on in other people's lives. It becomes a question is, do we really love our neighbor as ourself? Or do we root for, as the world says, do we root for karma, that they get what's coming to them? Do we rejoice when we see somebody stumble? Do we rejoice when, especially somebody, anybody ever done you wrong? And then you see something happen to them and big smile? We're not supposed to do that. Is our heart is really set to love other people as God loves us? If our heart is really set to be a blessing to the people around us, then our only care, our only concern would be that they draw closer to the Lord. If things happen bad in their lives, our concern should be, Lord, help them to learn the lesson and to draw close to you through this. Rather than, wow, I'm glad I let God take care of that. No. What is our heart set to do? Luke 17, beginning with verse 1. Jesus talking, he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you, saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Now, if you're reading through your Bible and you got where they went in and added the headings and added all of that stuff, the "increase our faith" is actually below where the Bible says it's going to be talking about something else. But keep in mind, when it was written, there were no chapters, there were no verses. There was, in this case, Luke, whole thing. Lord, increase our faith. So, when we read this, and we don't know where in the story, where in the life of Jesus this occurred versus what we're going to read next in Matthew, but we know that Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, confront him, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he does it if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day says, "I'm sorry, I repent, forgive me," you shall forgive him. Now, they have what's called the Synoptic Gospels. Everybody knows there's 4 Gospels. When they talk about the Synoptic Gospels, they're talking about Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because anytime a parable is in 3 Gospels, but not 4, those are the 3 it's going to be in. Some parables are in all 4. Some are just in 3. Some are just in 1. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke parallel very much the same. I mean, you got some different perspectives. Things are a little bit different. But they pretty much give the same message, though, from a different perspective. So, in Luke, We have Jesus telling his disciples that, and like I said, we don't know when in Jesus's life, when in the lives of the disciples as they're walking with Jesus that he said this. But this is what he tells them. So then in Matthew 18, beginning with verse 21, Peter came up to him, up to Jesus, and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Peter thinks he's doing a pretty good thing. Jesus said here in Luke that if he sins against you and repents seven times in a day, you'll forgive him seven times in a day. It says back in Proverbs, though a righteous man falls seven times, that he will rise again. So Peter said, "Yeah, I do it seven times and I'm good." Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Now, how many people think Jesus is saying you're supposed to forgive your brother who sins against you 490 times a day? That's what 70 times 7 is, 490 times a day, right? 491st time, buddy, you're in trouble, right? Thinking like a carnal human being. What Jesus is saying is, don't have an expectation that there's coming a point where you're not going to forgive them. Don't have an expectation of, okay, you're on my last nerve, or, you know, I'm keeping score just to see where you are. Have an expectation of a heart of forgiveness, because that's part of loving your neighbor as yourself. How many of us are glad that God didn't just forgive us 490 times and call it good, call it done? He is gracious and loving, is merciful. His loving passion, his loving compassion, his long suffering doesn't fail. His tender mercies are fresh and new each morning. How many of us are very, very grateful for that? But if we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves, we're supposed to be God's representative on this earth. We are supposed to be examples of His grace. If we have an expectation that, okay, we're at 365, buddy, you're getting close to your limit. Because we got that 490, and at 490, you're on your own. If we have that mindset, if we have that expectation that that's all we're going to do. Or maybe we're just going to forgive them seven times. But we have an expectation. There is a limit of what we're going to do. Then we're not thinking about forgiveness the same way the Lord does. Verse 23, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle the accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." That's a bunch of money. I'm not going to go in and try to do the math and figure that out. That's a bunch of money. "But he was not able to pay, and his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made." Has anybody here ever filed bankruptcy besides me? And when you filed bankruptcy, did you have a whole lot more owed than you actually had assets? So the court just said, you know, you go through the process and your credit is destroyed and everything is messed up, and the only place that'll give you a loan is those places that are wanting to charge 28% interest because they know you can't claim bankruptcy again and they've got you over a barrel. This guy, he owed more than he could pay. The master said, "Sell him and his wife and his children and all that he had, and that a payment be made. Whatever you can get, I'll just write off the rest of it." It's basically what the situation was. "The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.'" That wasn't going to happen. That's kind of like that piece of property down in North Florida that's for sale, the 17,080 acres. That I said I'd have to go back to work to get the mortgage on because the list price is $50 million. I'd have to work an awful, awful, awful long time at a very, very lucrative job to come up with $50 million to buy that piece of property. Okay, I realize that's not going to happen. That's not part of the thing. This guy came to the master and said, have patience with me and I'll pay all. But the master had compassion on him. Master of the servant was moved to compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. You remember Jesus is at Simon the Pharisee's house. And the woman comes in, the woman with a reputation, and began to weep at Jesus' feet and washed his feet with her tears and dried his feet with her hair. And the Pharisees sitting around saying, if he was a prophet and knew what kind of woman this was, he wouldn't allow her to touch him. And Jesus said, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he says, say on, master. He said, a certain man had two servants. The one owed him a whole bunch. Real New England translation paraphrase here. The one owed him a great deal of money and the other one owed him a little bit. And when neither could pay, he forgave them both. Which one therefore would love him more? And Simon said, the one to whom he forgave the most. And Jesus said, you are correct. This woman's sin, though many, are forgiven. It talked about how you, when I came in, you didn't give me anything to wash my feet. But she's washed my feet with her tears. You didn't give me any anointing for my head. She's anointed my feet. She has done these things. She has shown great love. She said, her sins, though many, are forgiven. See, when we look at our brothers, when we look at our sisters, when we look at our neighbors, when we look at those people around us and just see their failures and their shortcomings rather than somebody deserving and somebody needing God's mercy, somebody needing God's grace, we're setting ourselves up as judges against our brother and sister, judges against our neighbor. Master, have patience with me and I will pay all. Then their master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told the master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother of his trespass. As we sang in the praise and worship section, we sang, I stand amazed at the presence of Jesus of Nazarene. We sang, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for an old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. We sang about God's grace greater than all of our sins. Do we recognize what God has done on our behalf? And does it flow through our lives so that we have grace and mercy and patience and love to the people we encounter? How many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus says, I say not till seven times, but till 70 times seven. And again, as I said, it's not 490 times. It's having an attitude that there is no end of the grace. There is no end of the mercy. There is no end of the forgiveness. Not holding things against people. We allow God to be the judge. That doesn't mean we don't declare right and wrong based on Scripture. But it means we don't condemn people. We condemn actions. We try to love and try to reach people. People will do you wrong. Jesus said, it is impossible that no offenses should come. There's going to be offenses. Sometimes just seemingly well-intentioned thoughts or actions are just going to hit people wrong because they're having a bad day. Sometimes a bit of advice can come out at the wrong moment or hit our ears at the wrong moment. Not that it came out at the wrong moment, but when it hit our ears, our mind wasn't set to receive advice, and it came into our hearts as criticism. Happens to me. You know, things will happen. Do we forgive? Are we gracious in our attitude? Jesus said, learn what this means. I would have mercy and not sacrifice. It says in Hosea, what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? How we treat other people matters because it reflects what we understand God has done in our hearts. If we're forgiven, if we're going into this world, going into life, going into relationships, having an attitude and an expectation that things are going to come up. They're going to. But we're not going to hold them against people. We're going to try to reach out. We're going to try to be loving. We're going to try to be kind. Yes, we're going to need Jesus' help. Because in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, Paul said. So we all fall short. But when we recognize what He's done on our behalf, if we are mindful of what Jesus has done on our behalf, and the fact that we stand before a holy God, clean and forgiven because of Jesus, not because of our own actions, helps us to deal with other people that stand before us. If we have a forgiving attitude, we can forgive them whether they're asking for it or not. We can be gracious whether the world would think they deserve it or not. Is our heart set on being forgiving without measure? Or is our heart set on, you've got so many chances and then we're done with you? How does it work? What works in our hearts? John 15, last passage, beginning with verse 11. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Loving like Jesus means laying aside our expectation of what's right or what's fair or what we deserve. What we deserve is burning in hell. I don't know about you. You know, sin in each and every one of our lives. We come before a holy God, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness that is by Christ Jesus. When we're dealing with other people, we should be mindful of what God has already done and continues to do in us. And it should reflect on how we encounter other people. So that we're not planning to forgive people just to a point. But rather, we are wanting to be gracious and loving and showing the love of God to people around us. Jesus said that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus, at the Last Supper, knowing that Judas was betraying him, he says, what you do, do quickly. Jesus, in the garden, after praying, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Judas comes up to him and gives him a kiss. And he says, do you betray me with a kiss? There's still that love. There's still that care. There's still that concern. Jesus, talking to the Father, said, everyone that you've given me, I have kept, except the son of perdition, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. Jesus, desiring, loving, trusted Judas enough, the thief, enough to carry the bag, carry the money. Are we gracious and loving because of what God has done in us? Or do we put limits on how loving we're going to be? If we put limits on how loving we're going to be, we are not loving the way we're commanded to love. If we hold on to a grudge, if we hold on to an offense, we are not loving the way we're commanded to love. We're each and every one of us called to love like Jesus. When we're forgiving, and Jesus says, I don't say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. It's like saying, you know, Peter says, shall I forgive him 7 times? And Jesus, like I said, he's not saying forgive him 490 times. He's saying don't put a limit on what it is that you're willing to do. Don't put a limit on what you're willing to forgive. Some of us have gone through extremely devastating, hard things in our life that had it not been for the grace and love and mercy of God, we would be just an absolute mess. There are some things we look at and the world says, how could you ever forgive that? Do you remember a few years ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, somebody went into an Amish school and shot and killed a bunch of kids. And the community forgave them. And people said, how can you do that? He says, the leader of the local church said, God has forgiven us so much. How could we not forgive what others have done? The world doesn't understand that. And the world's not going to understand when we forgive things done against us. In fact, the world will understand if we don't. But we are not called to be like the world. We are called to be different. We are called to love like Jesus. When we forgive 70 times 7, we are laying down the right, or laying down the supposed right, to hold that offense so that we can get out of the way so that God can deal with them. The picture on the front of the bulletin, as best as I recall, says something along the lines of, forgive others not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace. When we hold on to offenses, when we hold on to the hurt, when we hold on to the anger, it tears up our lives. Becomes that root of bitterness springing up, troubling you, whereby many are defiled. When we lay it down and we ask God's healing, when we ask for His grace to work in our lives, when we look at the scripture that says, if you do not forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you, and we look at the circumstance and say, God, this is what your word says, and I need your forgiveness so much, and I will to forgive. Lord, work it in my heart. Because sometimes we can't lay it down on our own. But God desires healing. He desires a reconciliation. He desires peace. And when we've done that, we've seen it change people's lives. Not only our own, but people, the other side of the equation. Praise God. Amen. The fact that my ex-wife has asked me to pray for her marriage. You know, just an incredible, incredible thing. Not because of who I am. Not because of anything I've done. But because of God's grace working the healing. Other situations we've encountered, we've experienced. We go through a lot. In this world, you will have tribulation. That's not a maybe. That's not a theoretical, hypothetical thing could happen. Jesus said, it's impossible that no offenses come. He said, there's going to be offenses. The question becomes, how do we deal with that? Do we forgive 7 times? Do we forgive 490 times? Or do we forgive as we are forgiven? Do we love as we are loved? Do we pass on the grace and mercy and love of God that He has poured into us, into the lives of other people, so that God can touch them, God can deal with them, that we no longer become an obstacle, that we no longer become a barrier in people's lives? God wants to touch wonderful people. God wants to touch people's lives in a wonderful way. And God wants to do some miraculous things in people's lives, our families' lives, our friends' lives, our neighbors' lives, co-workers' lives, for those of y'all still working. Oh, those of you. Those listening still working. God wants to do some wonderful things. But if we are become the barricade, if we become the barrier, if we become the wall of anger and bitterness, we get in God's way of what He wants to do in people's lives, because we hold people in bondage. What's the old saying? Having bitterness against somebody is like drinking poison and expecting them to die from it. It tears us up, but it does make us a barrier in people's lives. We are called to love as God loved us. So when we forgive 70 times 7, when we forgive without measure versus 490 times, period, versus however many chances we're going to give people, period, if our heart is set to show the love of God, to love like Jesus loved, to be obedient to His Word, then we go into this not having an expectation, not having a requirement that you can only mess up so many times and then I'm done with you. Then we get out of the way and we let God's grace flow through us. So Father, we praise You for that. We thank You, Lord, that You are at work in our hearts, in our lives, in our circumstances. We thank You, Father, for the outpouring of Your Spirit. We thank You, Father, for Your grace and mercy, for Your love and Your guidance, Father. Lord, let Your Word just stir in our hearts that we might examine ourselves. Are we putting limits on what we are intending to forgive? Are we putting limits on the grace and the love that we have for other people? Or do we recognize what You've done on our behalf? And because of that, being so grateful that we passed Your love on to others. Help us, Father. I give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.